1 Corinthians 15 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15 and 34. Now he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He's addressing the Corinthian church. He's speaking to believers. This is to a church. It's an address to a church. It is a letter, an epistle that the man of God has sent to the church of Corinth. In the AMPC, it reads thus, in the AMPC. Awake from your drunken stupor. Tell your neighbor, say, drunken stupor. Drunken stupor. Awake from your drunken stupor and return. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. This is what a call to revival is all about. This is what a call to revival is all about. It is a return to spiritual sobriety. We have to be spiritually sober. It is a return to our spiritual senses, to our spiritual right mind, to our spiritual soundness. This is what a call to revival is. The word of the Lord says we must be sober and be in a state of watchfulness. We must be sober as believers, as Christians, and be in a state of watchfulness. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, he lurks around in the shadows. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He's seeking, he's looking for whomever he may devour. Now, if the devil is on the prowl, if the devil is on the hunt, and we know that he's not hunting for game, he's hunting for believers, then we ought to be sober at all times. We ought to be in a state of watchfulness at all times. The devil seeks but to render us ineffective. Satan seeks but to render us very ineffective. He has got no problem us saying the right things but not producing the right things. He's got no problem with us making the right confession but not manifesting the right confession. The devil is there. He seeks but to make us ineffective as believers. This is why he says we ought to awake to sobriety. We ought to awake to righteousness, because without awaking to righteousness, we will continue being ineffective. And you know how frustrating, how totally frustrating when as believers we are ineffective. Hallelujah. But the Bible says we must resist the devil. We must fight him off steadfast in the faith. We must resist him. We must fight him off steadfast in the faith. But to be steadfast in the faith, we need to be mentally very alert. To be steadfast in the faith, we must be very mentally alert. The word of the Lord says we ought to get up the loins of our mind. Get up the loins of your mind and be sober. We need to be ready at all times. We need to be mentally alert, mentally watchful at all times. The devil is not resting. He doesn't rest, people of God. We must always be alert and ready mentally at all times. We must always be alert and ready mentally at all times. Our mental and spiritual alertness must always go hand in hand. Our mental, our spiritual alertness must always go hand in hand. Glory to God. The devil succeeds, albeit temporarily. The devil succeeds, albeit temporarily, if our mental judgment and our spiritual discernment are not on par. If our mental judgment and our spiritual discernment are not on par, are not lining up. The devil, he gradually wakes us up to familiarity and routine. You see, if we are not alert, he wakes us up to familiarity and routine in the things of the Spirit. We become familiar, and the only thing that we do is routine. We study the word is routine. We pray, it is routine. We come to church, it's routine. We speak in tongues, it's routine. Everything we do is routine. We worship, it is routine. We praise, it is routine. No. God will never manifest in that environment. It is familiarity. After that, the devil gets us into familiarity and routine. Thereafter, he gets us eventually into a drunken stupor, and the word of God now says, awake. We have fallen into a drunken stupor mentally, a drunken stupor spiritually. Hallelujah. Awake, the Bible says. Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense. Return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. And sin no more. A drunken stupor in the spirit, it is a state. A drunken stupor in the spirit, it is a state where we don't recognize or regard sin as sin anymore. When we are in a drunken stupor, remember, the devil does everything to get us into a drunken stupor. He does everything. He catches us when we are not mentally alert, when we are not spiritually alert. He catches us. He gets us into familiarity and into routine. When he gets us there long enough, then we get drunk in a stupor. Spiritually and mentally. And when we are in that state, we do not regard sin as sin anymore. That means we become so familiar. Sin becomes so normal to us. Doing wrong becomes so normal. Why? Because everything has become familiar. Because whatever we are doing, it is a routine. Routine is when you pray and you don't hear God and it's okay. That's what routine is. You pray and you don't hear God and it's fine. You study the word of God and Holy Spirit does not illuminate. It's okay. Can you see that? Now, this is a state that the man of God in the scriptures is talking about that we have to awake out of. Awake out of. Now, notice he says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Can you see that? And sin not. So the devil, he lulls us. He gets us into slumber mode. When we begin to do things like we are robots, we are not even aware of what we are doing. We don't even, cannot tell the difference between our left and our right hands. Can you see that? A drunken stupor in the spirit, it is a state where we condone sin, where we excuse sin, where we rationalize sin. Remember, awake to righteousness and sin no more. Can you see that? The devil had successfully gotten this church into a slumber, into a lull, into a drunken stupor. They're like drunk people that do not reason coherently, reason logically, reason sensibly. We condone sin. We excuse it. We rationalize it. When that happens to a believer, that person, the devil has successfully managed to get that believer in a drunken stupor. This is a state, number three, where sin becomes normalized in our lives. Sin becomes normalized. We are desensitized. We are no longer sensitive. You know, if you remember, after that we became born again, we were very alert and sensitive. Extremely alert and sensitive. We did not want to touch sin. We did not even want to hear. We did not even want to see. All right? After that, we got born again, if we have truly been born again. But what happens? The devil gradually, with time, he gets us desensitized. Some of us, we know how grievous how grievous it was to our spirit, to our mind. How grievous it was when we had done wrong. How grievous it was when we had missed the mark. We know how we felt. We know how we felt. Now we feel nothing anymore. Now we feel nothing. Everything, the wrong has been normalized. We have been desensitized to the wrong that we do. But it wasn't so in the beginning. Where are we? We are in a dangerous state. We are in a dangerous state. Including pastors preaching from the pulpit. In a drunken stupor. Preaching one thing but living another. Preaching one thing but producing another. You see, it's a drunken stupor. This is all the reason why God calls for a revival. Awake, he says. It's time to awake. You see, God is love. God is love. He says, he made a promise to us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. You see, God is a promise keeper. It is true, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. God will never forsake nor leave. All right? No matter what kind of sin we commit, we'd rather leave God, but God will never leave us. But God will never leave us in the state that we are in. He will come and say, awake. Now it's time. Don't forget that God is long-suffering. Some of us, we have not gotten the meaning and the sense and the understanding of that word. God is long-suffering. God is very long-suffering. Hallelujah. He's long-suffering towards us, but it does not mean that we are doing right when we are not doing right. When God is quiet, when it seems like God is quiet, it does not mean that we are doing right. No. It is because he loves us. Do not forget that God, he loved us while we were sinners. How much more now that we are born again? You see, if he never left us while we were sinners, how much more now that we are his children? He'll never leave. Nor forsake us. Hallelujah. When we are in this state, we become desensitized to the seriousness and the consequences of wrongdoing. We become what? Desensitized to the seriousness and the consequences of wrongdoing. This is why in what is called the hyper grace of today, you will never hear written spoken about the seriousness and the consequences of sin. Hallelujah. Grace has not removed the seriousness and the consequences of sin. Otherwise, it would not be telling us not to sin. Otherwise, it would not be telling us not to do wrong. Why? Because it's very serious and it's got serious consequences. And we bring these to ourselves and not God. But notwithstanding, the Lord will never leave nor forsake. He will continue to speak. God will continue to sound the clarion call to revival. Sound the clarion call of revival. Sound the clarion call for revival. It is up to us how we respond. Friends, a drunken stupor in the spirit is a state where the absence of God in our lives is normal. The absence of God in our lives, it is normal. Listen, it is very good to know the scriptures, but what good are the scriptures without the presence of God? Moses said, boldly proclaimed before the Lord, he says, Lord, if you're not going with us, we're not living here. We're not living. Since when have we become better than Moses today? Since when today are we able to live as children of God without the presence of God? When we've fallen into a drunken stupor, the absence of God in our lives becomes normal. It becomes normal. Why? Because we've become familiar to routine without God. You know, when you become familiar to routine without God, even going to church, you don't even know why you're going to church. Even when the church, there's singing, there's worship and praising, you don't know why you're doing it. Even if there's a time for prayer, you don't know why you're doing it, right? Why? Because there is a familiarity with the absence of the presence of God. Presence of God in our lives. The Bible says, awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper, Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's Ephesians 5 and 14 in the NLT. Glory to God. A drunken stupor in the spirit is a state where we hear our own mind and mistake it for the voice of God. When we are in a drunken stupor, because there's no presence of God, but it has become so normal for us. All right? Now, because we desire God to speak, even in the state that we are in, we begin to hear our minds. Our minds begin to conjure up a voice of God that does not exist, a voice of God that is not there. Listen, the thing is this, when we are down, all right, when we are fallen, when we are in the wrong, there is nothing else that the Lord will come and speak about except to tell you to come out. That means any message you receive does not come from God. Come on. Any message when we are down that you receive, that you purport to be from God, is not from God. Because when we are down, the only word from God is to say, rise up. The only word from the Lord is to say, arise to righteousness and sin not. The Lord said to the man, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. Can you see that? That is the word of the Lord. That is the word of the Lord. Now, friends, however, there is the flip side of the coin. There is, however, a drunkenness that is scriptural. I say there is, however, a drunkenness that is scriptural, which we all know so well. Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 15 through 19. Ephesians 5, 15 through 19. A call to revival. A call to revival. A call. Our lives have got to change. We have got to put things in order. We have got to clean house. We have got to introspect. We have got to look into ourselves. We have got to reevaluate. Unless that happens, there will be no revival. We must clean house. We must introspect. We must self-examine. There is need for self-examination, for self-evaluation. To say, am I still standing in the faith? Am I still in the right with God? Or have I drifted miles and miles away from the Lord, and even I am not aware of it? Revival. There are things that we need to do for revival to hit. I say there are things that we need to do for revival to hit. Why is it that before the Lord Jesus Christ, he appeared on the scene and before he began his ministry, why was there a need for a forerunner to prepare the way for him? You see, that is a divine principle of God. It has not changed. There must be a preparation before God appears on the scene. There is a preparation. Why was there a need for John? Why was there a need for John? And what was John's ministry and calling was to prepare. That tells you God cannot just appear. And when we do want to desire the Lord to appear, we need to make the necessary preparations. I say we need to make the necessary preparations. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians chapter number 5, 15 through 19. See then that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk right, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Buy the time back. We have spent a lot of our times living in utter foolishness. Now he says it is time for us not to continue to walk in foolishness, but to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Don't be foolish, but discern what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish. Listen, in a drunken stupor, there's no discernment. No, there isn't. Don't be foolish, don't be unwise, but discern, understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't be drunk with wine wherein there is dissipation, wherein there is foolishness. Some of us who are drinking alcohol, we get drunk and get into a state of utter foolishness. He calls it foolishness. But let us be filled with the Spirit. Let us be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is drunkenness that is scriptural. Drunkenness that is scriptural. I love the fact that it says speaking to yourselves. Speaking to myself. When I'm full of the Holy Spirit, I will begin to speak to myself. Now tell me, where depression will be then? When by the Spirit, I begin to speak to myself. I begin to speak to myself the will of God. Where giving up will be then? When in full of the Spirit, I begin to speak to myself. Full of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, my daughter. Speaking to ourselves. Just as drunk people, when filled with alcohol, they start speaking to themselves without anyone speaking to them. Have you seen drunk people? They speak to themselves without anyone speaking to them. Okay? And it's not them. It is what they are full of. That is why when we're full of the Holy Spirit, what we say does not come from us. It comes from that which we are full of. It comes from that which we are full of. Friends, let us be filled with the Holy Ghost and start speaking. Isn't this amazing? When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak. Ah, come on, church. What does this tell you? That means where there's the infilling with the Holy Spirit, it is very noisy. It's very noisy. It is never quiet. It is never quiet. There's no sadness there because the joy of the Lord, it bubbles from within as by the Holy Ghost. Drunk people, they speak and say whatever comes to their mind, don't they? I say drunk people, they speak and say whatever comes to their mind. We also, we speak and we say what the Holy Spirit brings to our mind. We also speak. And we say that which the Spirit of the Lord, He brings to our mind. Now He says, speaking to ourselves in psalms. No, I don't remember a psalm and then speak the psalm. He brings the psalm to me. And I will speak the psalm by book, by chapter, by verse. Not reading it. Perhaps not even knowing where it is in the Bible. Then we are full of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on, Church of Jesus Christ. Speaking to ourselves in psalms, in hymns. These are the hymns that the Holy Spirit gives people of God. In spiritual songs, you will break out in a song that you don't know. In a song you've never heard in your life. You break out in a song. Why? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Kande shanta korobusia. Kimbrala satakusa. Riko Satabaya. Oh, come on, church. Singing. Now, this is a singing. Listen, this has got nothing to do with singers. No, singing. The chaos of this world. Begin to sing. All right? Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. There's an overflow. Singing and making melody. Making melody. You know what is melody? There is order in melody. There is sequence in melody. There's logic in melody. There's rationality in melody. This means it is something that you cannot conjure up. You cannot conjure it up when it comes from the Holy Spirit. The same thing with the tongues. You can't conjure tongues. You can if you want to. But the tongue that comes from the Holy Spirit, there is spiritual logic in it. There is spiritual sequence in it. There is spiritual mapping in it. Oh, come on, church. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody. You see, when we are full of the Spirit, there is no room for sadness. This has got nothing to do with how much you have in your bank account or not. It's got nothing to do with what you have in your fridge or not. It's got nothing to do with what you have at home or not. It's got nothing. The issue here and the key is to be filled. A drunk person, they don't care about their problems. When they are drunk, all right, they become the happiest people in the world. But it's temporary, all right? But this is of the Holy Spirit. And this ought to be our permanent state. And if it is not, let's cry out for revival. Oh, come on, church. If it is not, let's do what? Paul did not mean here in the scriptures, it was led by the Holy Spirit, that this must be something that happens once. No. He meant, let us stay filled. Asihlaleni sigcwele. Let us stay filled. If we are not staying filled, let's cry out for revival. But when we are in a drunken stupor, even if we stay empty, it becomes normal to us. Because we're in a drunken stupor. We are living lives that are contrary to the scriptures, and it is normal. Can you see what the devil does? He began to desensitize us in the spirit. People are desensitized. He desensitizes Christians to accept the abnormal as normal. We are desensitized in the spirit. This is why even in the church, in the body of Christ, we have accepted abnormal things as normal. We have been desensitized. We are fighting and protecting wrong and people who do wrong. Why? Because we spiritually have died. We are spiritually diseased. Not full of the Holy Spirit and have not the sensitivity. Are we the children of God? Of course we are the children of God. Of course. Of course. This is why there is need. There is a great need for revival among the children of God, among the church of Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore into all the world. But how did they go? In what state did they go? They were full of the Holy Spirit. Ah, come on, church. Go ye into all the world. How did they go? What state were they in? We go into the world. What state are we in? Can you see that? We have been desensitized. Desensitized. Don't go unless you are filled. Don't go unless you be endued with power. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and you will be endued with power from on high. Don't go. Go tarry. Tarry. Dula urebile, tarry. Let us tarry. Now here's the thing, when you're in a drunken stupor and when we are desensitized, this is a reality that lives in the scriptures but not in our lives. Tarry in Jerusalem. It's just a reality that lives in the scriptures. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me. Ah, you are drunk and you're in a stupor. You are spiritually insensitive. You are in danger zone as a child of God. Danger zone, danger zone, danger zone. You have become normal in the absence of God, in an environment of the absence. We're talking personally, individually. Personally, individually. Friends, this means that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He takes over our spirit. He takes over our soul. He takes over our body. He takes over. Have you seen a man drunk with alcohol? Their spirit, their soul, their body are overcome. Come on. That's why about tekesela, right? Yes, that's why they wobble about. Drunk people, they wobble about. Their spirit, their soul, their body is taken. It ought to be the same thing when we are, okay, well, not the same thing, but as by way of comparison. Holy Spirit, when we are filled, when He fills us, He takes over our spirit, He takes over our soul, He takes over our body. This is like what I said last Sunday. Then we begin to see what He wants us to see, not what we want to see. Then we begin to hear what He wants us to hear, not what we want to hear. Then we begin to say what He wants us to say and not what we want to say. Then we begin to discern what He wants us to discern, not what we want to discern. Why? We are filled. This is why revival. This is why revival. Not the spiritual deadness. No. No. The Spirit of the Lord, it takes over our spirit, our soul, and our body when we are filled with Him. This is the state that we must awake to. Remember, it says, awake to righteousness. This is the state. Awake to righteousness. This is the state that we must awake to. This is the state for which we seek to be revived. I say, this is the state for which we seek to be revived. The state of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The state of being full. Full, church. Not a measure. Not a measure. Fullness. Isn't it funny that majority of us, we're not full of the Holy Ghost, but we are the people that seek the Lord the least. Isn't it funny? That majority of us, we are not full of the Holy Spirit, but we are the people that seek the Lord the least. The right state for a believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay filled. Then you know you are right with God. Then you know you are in the right with God. Then you know you are in the state that you are supposed to be in. A fullness. A fullness. A fullness. A fullness of the Holy Ghost. Friends, on the contrary, we definitely must not be full of the flesh. And we must not even tolerate it. I say we definitely must not be full of the flesh. And we definitely must not tolerate it. Led, controlled, guided by our physical senses and fleshly mind, by our carnal mind. No, we must not even tolerate it. That is wrong. We must be full of the Holy Spirit. Led, guided, controlled by Him. Oh, glory to God. But some of us, we tolerate this. Why? Because we have become spiritually comatose. You know, a person in a coma, they are not in control. They are not in control of themselves. They are not in control of their surroundings. A person in a coma, that's why they might be able to hear you, but they cannot respond. Can you see that? Why? A person in a coma is overcome, is totally, absolutely overcome. Now, when you're in spiritual comatose, you are 100% as a Christian ineffective. You can do absolutely nothing. You may see but can do nothing. You may hear but can do nothing. Why? Because we have allowed the flesh to take over. We've allowed the flesh to take over. And we have become oblivious. We have become ignorant. We have become aware of what the Lord wants of us. Having become oblivious, ignorant, unaware of what the Lord is wanting of us, and we are ignorant, oblivious, unaware of what is going on with us and what is going on around us. We are to change things. We are to effect change. Everywhere the Lord places us, He has to trust us. He has to depend on us that in that environment, in that territory, we will effect a change. Have you seen anyone in a coma effecting any change? Anyone in a coma? They are lying down. They can't help themselves. They want to be helped. They don't know how, and they cannot help themselves. And the latter part of 1 Corinthians 15 and 34, which I did not read, that latter part says, for some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant. You are utterly, that's the AMPC, that's not me. He says, you are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant. And you continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your own shame. How did the wheels come off? Where did they come off? How? Where? How? And where? Brethren, let us awake to righteousness and away from sin. Let us awake to righteousness and away from sin. Yeah. The problem is that most people who are spiritually dazed, comatose, indifferent, are not aware of it. They are not aware of it. You know, the moment you become to be very defensive as a Christian, and if you notice and realize that you are being very defensive, you are spiritually dazed, spiritually comatose. You have become spiritually indifferent, spiritually insensitive. The moment you start to defend yourself a lot. The thing is this: straight is straight, crooked is crooked, and straight does not need any defending. The moment you begin to be defensive, red flag. I say, straight is straight. Crooked is crooked. Straight does not need defending, but crooked does. The moment you start defending yourself, there is something crooked there. You can't defend straight. Light is light. Darkness is darkness. You can never make a case for light because the light is manifest. There's no case to be made for light, but every time there's a case to be made for darkness. Can you see that, friends? Most people who are in this state are not aware of it. Hence, they see nothing wrong with themselves. Preaching after preaching, they see nothing wrong. Preaching after preaching, they see nothing wrong. They believe they are living above the preaching. They believe they are living above the word of God that is being taught. They are not even aware that they are in spiritual danger. Serious spiritual danger. Revival, friends, is the power of God calling us back. Revival is the power of God calling us back from death to life again. Calling us back from death to life again in the Spirit. To life again in the Spirit. To life again in the Spirit. God wants to revive us again. God wants to refill us with His Holy Spirit again. Even for the believers, I said this last Sunday, even for the believers that have never experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the time of revival, this is an opportune time. It's an opportune time. Friends, as a Christian in the kingdom of God, there is nothing. Please, the emphasis is on nothing. There is nothing any one of us can do without the Holy Spirit. But now here's the thing. He is holy. When He comes, He instills in us when He comes. It's not your power. When He comes, He instills in you. He instills in you. He instills righteousness, a sense of righteousness. He instills a sense of purity. He instills a sense of holiness. He does it. Then suddenly you notice that now you become incompatible with wrong. You become incompatible with unrighteousness. No, this has got nothing to do with you. In the new covenant, it's got nothing to do with you. In the new covenant, Jesus did everything, and everything that we require for life and godliness has been given to us. Holy Spirit, when He comes, He imparts these things to us. He imparts suddenly, like, I don't want to do this anymore. It doesn't sit right anymore. It doesn't feel right anymore. All right? It begins to disgust you. So, but my goodness, I was okay all along. No. Revival has come. I say revival has come. This is what we are talking about. Revival time is a time where we befriend once again. We go back to our friend. We befriend the Holy Spirit again. We befriend our Comforter again. We befriend our Teacher again. We befriend our Guide again. We befriend our Advocate again. We befriend our Helper again. You, oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You can do nothing without me." This is the problem of many of us. We are trying to help ourselves when the Helper is there. We're trying to help ourselves. Our monies are not coming together. We are going everywhere. We are looking everywhere but the Helper. I say our monies are not coming together. We are going everywhere. We are looking everywhere but the Helper. You see, help is there. He's the Helper. He's the Helper. The word of the Lord says, there is nothing impossible with God. Why would you leave the God with whom nothing is impossible and try to do it yourself and try to do it some other way when the Helper is there? Now, friends, quickly, as I'm closing today, and I thank God for this, what should our response be to the revival call? What should our response be? A revival call has gone out. A revival call has been issued. So what should our response? What should our response? Our response be? Number one, we ought to examine and test and evaluate our own selves. We ought to examine, test and evaluate our own selves to see whether we are holding on to our truth, to our faith, to see whether we are holding on to our faith, and here it comes, and showing the proper fruits of it. And showing the proper fruits of it. This you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. I took it from the Amplified AMPC. Two Corinthians 13 and 5 AMPC. Examine and test and evaluate our own selves to see whether we are holding on to our faith and whether we are showing the proper fruits. Proper fruits of our faith, proper fruits of our confession, proper fruits of our salvation. And number two, we must make sure that our behavior reflects and confirms our relationship with God. We must make sure that our behavior reflects and confirms our relationship with God. I took this from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, the Amplified. Friends, if we heed the call of the Spirit and the revival of God, here is what is promised. If we heed to the call, we heed to the call of the Spirit that the Lord has made to us, the call for revival, here is what is promised. 2 Peter 1:11. 2 Peter 1:11. Now it says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For so an entrance shall be ministered." Oh, come on. Ministered into the kingdom. We're not talking about death here, dying. right now, an entrance being ministered abundantly into the kingdom. Abundantly. That means given access. Given access. If we heed the call for revival and we do what needs to be done, we play our part. In the TPT, the same scripture. Now it says, as a result, the kingdom's gates will open wide to you. They will be flung wide open. This is what revival comes to bring, to fling wide the gates of God's kingdom. To say, move in, walk in as you please, and grab whatever you would. That's revival. It is a state of being. It is a state of being with the Lord. These things are spiritual. The devil is in the world for a reason. I told you, he wants to make Christians ineffective. The devil can never snatch me out of Christ. The best he can do is to trick me into being ineffective, but he can't take me from there. That means I can die as a believer being ineffective, but the devil will never see me in hell. But here on earth, he made me ineffective. See that? That's what we're talking about. For those who are truly born again. For those who are truly born again. As a result, the kingdom's gates will be open wide to you as God choreographs your triumphant entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus the Messiah. Friends, this means movement in the spirit, no longer stagnation. When revival comes, gives us movement in the spirit. We come out of stagnation. It means elevation and ascendancy. Elevation and ascendancy in the spirit. I mean, come on, who is hungry for this? Elevation and ascendancy. We are not at the mercy of circumstances anymore. You're not at the mercy of people anymore. We are not at the mercy. Come on. When it's given to you, elevation and ascendance in the spirit, you're no longer at the mercy. No longer at the mercy of people. No longer at the mercy of circumstances. No. No. There is movement in the spirit. Moving from grace to grace. Moving from dimension to dimension, moving from glory to glory. You know what I'm talking about. Moving from glory to glory, grace to grace. We are moving, experiencing the infinite, the limitless, the fathomless riches of the glory of Christ. That's the goal, man. Experiencing the infinite, limitless, fathomless riches of the glory of Christ. That's revival.